to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Ron, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for backing me into this corner. Challenging me. It's when I'm at my best. I'll see you Sunday. Suplex City, bitch.
Yo, you want to get hardcore, you want to get extreme, well, the Sandman does it by listening to 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for September 23rd. Just a couple holidays today. It's Checkers Day. Dog in Politics Day. Okay. I guess that's the Shaggy DA, right? International Rabbit Day. National Hunting and Fishing Day. And Oktoberfest begins in Germany today. So raise your mug high. What was the on the man show they used to say?
Ziggy zaggy ziggy zaggy, oi, oi, oi.
Exactly. There we go. Happy 43rd birthday today to a past guest in the show. And the man who wants to delete the world, it's Matt Hardy. Also, a happy 29th to the inaugural Mae Young Classic Tournament winner. Is it Kairi Sane? Kairi Sane. It's her 29th birthday today. Congratulations. Panklinks brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. Join us October 7th for UFC 216 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Eastridge Road. 10 p.m. start time, so get there early. Hosted by us. Prizes at drink specials all night long, as Lionel Richie says, all night long. October 7th at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 216. Bill Gray's is home of the world's greatest cheeseburger. Check out one of their 14 locations, our favorites in the Strong Museum of Play. There's something for everyone at Bill Gray's. Find the nearest Bill Gray's to you online at
BillGray's.com.
Dun, dun, dun. Hey, interested in
the studio next to us?
Or the studio next to us. I can smell it. It smells very good.
I imagine the food is wonderful, but I can only imagine.
I imagine,
we got to watch it walk in this week.
Yes, it did. It came in very late. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. I'm the Cash Man. I'm joined by Danger Boy. Good morning, Danger Boy.
Good morning.
And DC Dan Cole.
Good morning.
He's manning the Twitter as well as the texter, and you can text us at 222-1280, star 1280. You can tweet at us. It's at the underscore. Is it the underscore Pain Clinic? I can't remember what the
Pain underscore Clinic.
That's it. Pain underscore Clinic. I knew there was an underscore in there someplace. So if you want to text at us during the show, we've got a special guest on in our next segment. It'll be Chris Jericho. You might have heard of that guy before.
Name does sound vaguely familiar.
It does sound familiar. He's always denoting things on a piece of paper in front of him, and we'll have him on in the next segment. But as always, we talk wrestling, and that's what we do here. And we're going to start right off the bat. Oh, wait a second! One last thing before we start talking wrestling. There's this Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame. The 27th annual awards banquet is a week from today. That's September 30th at the Diplomat Banquet Center, 1 Diplomat Way, Rochester, New York. Doors open at 6, dinner at 7 p.m. Inductees this year, Irish Joe McShay, And Mike Donovan, Courage Battle Award goes to Livingston Bramble, who will be in the studio with us next week to start the show. Outstanding Referee Award to Steve Smogger. And there's a whole bunch of other great awards. Special guests, Charles Natural Murray, Floyd Mangler, Peavy, and Don Ackerman. If you know boxing and you know the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame, you definitely don't want to miss it. You can get information for them at RBHOF 100, which will be Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame 100 at yahoo.com, RBHOF 100 at yahoo.com. give them a call, 585-314-3541. Check it out, and like I said, next week we'll have Livingston Bramble up in the studio, get to talk a little boxing in the first segment, but this week we're going to talk professional wrestling. Let's start it. Okay, I'm going to do it, because I mean, I think it should be talked about and discussed. What do you guys feel?
Can we talk about the bigger news of the week first?
Well, bigger news? You know where you think I'm going to? The champ of SmackDown being racist? No, yeah. What would you like to go to?
Oh, we should start with Bobby Heenan.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That happened last Sunday. Bobby Heenan passed away. Prior guest on the show a couple times. WWE Hall of Famer, Wrestling World Hall of Famer.
Best manager ever.
Best manager ever. Best commentator ever. Best, you know, he did it all. And maybe we'll talk with Chris Jericho a little bit about him. But, yeah, he passed away this past last Sunday. And it's like if you are a fan of the show and you get the downloads, I did put a special show out this middle of the week with the last time he was – one of the last times he was on with us. Actually, the first time we had him on, which we were just gushing and being fanboys and jerks and stuff like that. But he loved it. And he was promoting a book and everything. But, it's hard to miss that. Danger Boy, what did he mean to you? I mean, because he's different. Because when I was like, in high school, he was that – when the Hulkamania started, he was, like, the ultimate bad guy announcer, manager at the time.
Yeah, he had all the bad guys.
Yeah, he had
– the Heenan family. That's about the time I started watching, because that's when I was a little kid. Yeah. When he had the whole Heenan family, he managed Andre in the sky, in the Silver Dome.
Yeah, he's the one who, and I give him a lot of credit for building Hulkamania, because the WrestleMania 2 and WrestleMania 3, he was the adverse manager against Hulk Hogan, which kind of built him up each of those shows. Now, in the first show, for WrestleMania 1, he managed John Studd against Andre the Giant, but you can't get much bigger than that in a match. You know, imagine imagine what they would do nowadays if they could put that in a ring. You know, I mean, you know how they have the rings collapse when you have Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. Imagine what those two guys would do.
But like he was, I mean, and as I grew up and appreciated wrestling more and started watching more different stuff, and you know, actually understand why he was so good at what he did, and then listening to his commentary, him and Monsoon were great together, always. And he always quick with the tongue. He was very, very quick witted, and I actually went back and listened to his Hall of Fame speech again on Monday morning, and he was great there still, even though he had already been diagnosed with the cancer and everything at that point.
And he had part of his tongue taken out at one point. So, I mean, the second time we had him on the show, it didn't sound like Bobby Heenan, but it was.
Well, later he had part of his jaw removed and all sorts of stuff. It sucks that the guy who made his living being quick-witted and funny and hilarious and loved doing it couldn't talk at the end of his life.
Yeah, that is. You know, and I remember, you know, maybe people will remember when he and Gene Okerlund did the gimmick battle royale at the WrestleMania. Was it 15? I think it was Houston. 17, where they did the gimmick battle royale, and it was a great. That was probably one of the last great moments he had in the world of wrestling. I mean, yes, the last few years he's had some health problems, you know, and he did get past. They said it was due to complications of his cancer, so obviously he had a lot of surgeries for reconstruction and stuff, and he just started going out and doing like conventions and stuff the last few years, but he fell down once and he broke his hip, and that kind of pushed him back a little bit, but he was. Danny, you have any memories of Bobby the Brain Heenan?
I mean, some. You know, when I was able to actually comprehend what I was watching, more than just being entertained by what my eyes were seeing, you know, I could take other things into account. Sadly, it was towards the end of Heenan's, you know, heyday, let's say. But looking back, I mean, thanks to services like the WWE Network, I can go back and look, and to this day, still one of my favorite pay-per-views. I think it's just because it's the first one I can remember, is SummerSlam 91. And just that commentary team the whole night. You had Gorilla Monsoon, you had Bobby Heenan, you had Roddy Piper. In addition to a stacked card, the commentary was great. I mean, to this day, I still remember, although it's commentary that would never fly on today's standards.
Oh, yeah.
But Heenan killed it every time he opened his mouth. He did not waste a single word, ever.
No, I think he took pride. And I think his relationship with Gorilla Monsoon on the mic when they were live was just precious. I mean, the way that they would jab each other and the way that Monsoon would actually come out looking great in the end and Heenan looking like the dirtbag at the end of everything, you know?
I would love for somebody to make a supercut with every time someone or every time Heyman said something inappropriate or Heyman, Heenan, every time he said something inappropriate and then Gorilla telling him to stop.
Yeah, or Vince McMahon. They ran that. Did you see that on Monday with Vince McMahon? He goes, "Hey, this is a family program," when they were showing the flashbacks from it. It was pretty funny.
One of the clips I was watching was from a Royal Rumble and Virgil comes out, I think number 23. And as he's running down to the ring, Heenan's like, "How many bags do you think he went through in the back before coming out here?" It's like stuff that would never fly today. Never fly.
Yeah, he had some Virgil lines in there when Virgil was doing his face run against DiBiase that were great.
Yeah, and
I also heard a story about so Jim Cornette did, you know, obviously some things. Jim Cornette modeled a lot of what he did after Bobby Heenan. He just couldn't bump like him because Bobby Heenan was a worker before he ever was a manager.
Yeah.
And at least a legendary manager. So he was talking about how Bobby Heenan was so well respected that Sam Mushnick in St. Louis, way back in the territory days, he didn't like managers. He didn't want them on a show. Bobby Heenan was the only heel manager that was allowed on his show.
Wow.
Because Blackjack Lanza wanted him to bring in, and he respected him so much in what he did, he was the only one he would bring back to do it.
Yeah, and Heenan, that's the thing, is Heenan was, he was like so much, so good at so many things in this business, so he's definitely one of those, you could say he's a Hall of Famer in multiple positions, you know, which, you know, and it was definitely, it's sad to hear that he passed away, but it's nice to relive a lot of these things. And now I'm going to have to go back and watch some old ones. Even when he was doing WCW commentary, he used to, I mean, he would, him and Shivani.
He would rip on Mongo so bad.
Yeah, Mongo. They would just take barbs at each other. But he always was, and you know what the thing is I remember when he actually, one of his, probably his boo-boos in his career in WCW, because Brian Pillman was acting like his character was like a renegade character coming out of the crowd. And I remember Bobby Heenan standing up and swearing in the middle of the TV show because he got pushed aside by him. And he's like, "Hey, don't put your hands on me." And he
also inadvertently gave away that Hogan was turning heel.
Did he?
When Hogan was coming down, they're like, "He's coming down to save WCW. He's got the red and yellow on, and Hall and Nash are standing in the ring." He's like, "Wait a second, whose side is he on? Is he the third guy?" And everyone's like, "No, you're full of it." And then he was the third guy immediately after.
I don't know if he would have given it away if it was that before the pay-per-view started, but when you're calling commentary, they don't, like a lot of those guys say, people aren't feeding, you know, back then they weren't feeding stuff into their heads, so they wouldn't tell them too much in advance, so they had to play it out.
He was always anti-Hulk Hogan,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, and he had to see, what he saw in front of him is he spoke about, so it's like, they probably had no idea who the third person was at that point.
Oh, I'm sure they knew.
Yeah, well, the commentators, or, I mean, I know the company definitely did, so.
Oh, I'm sure the commentators knew.
Someday we'll get Hogan on and talk about it, but right now, we go to the phones. It's Rick from Rochester. Hey, Rick, any Bobby Heenan memories?
Yes, man, you guys are a bunch of ham and eggers.
Oh, stop it.
you humanoids are a bunch of ham and eggers.
Humanoids.
Man, that guy was the best, man. What a stable he had, from the Warlord, the Barbarian, Mr. Perfect.
Rick Rude.
I could go on and on and on.
Oh, Rick Rude, John Studd.
Andre the Giant.
The King Kong Bundy.
Did he have the Tonga Kid at one point?
He had Samoans. He had Samoan T. Was he with the Wild Samoans? I can't remember when the
second. Afonseca and Tonga Kid, right?
Yeah, I think he came back and was with them when the second time they came back. So
had Flair for a short period.
Yeah, he had Flair. Yeah, so
yeah,
I mean,
his stable was vast.
Yeah, definitely, and he was, and it's, you can't forget about, you know, just, you know, he was a mouthpiece for so many great wrestlers. So
yeah, did you? I actually seen that little clip ahead of him when he did the little Wild Wild West thing back in the day when he came out, and you know, he had a little cowboy hat on and stuff, and I watched that on the network, man, from years ago. I forgot about that. It was awesome. He was such a character.
He had some great, they did some great bits in the old days, like when they would be like on location, like when they had that golf thing where they called it the Weasel Open.
Yeah.
He looked like he had robbed Curtis, or no, who's Payne Stewart's closet. Yeah. You know, it was insane.
Yeah, man, that guy was awesome. He was probably my top manager, and then I'd say Fuji, and then Jimmy Hart.
What about Freddie Blassie, the fashion
classy
player?
Freddie Blassie's top five.
Yeah, and then the Grand Wizard, which I'd never get over nowadays.
Yeah, and Captain Lou's top ten for me.
Of course, Captain Lou. Of course, you can't deny that.
I love that. Man. I want to go. He said this during his Hall of Fame speech. He said he wanted to go to WWF at the time when he was in the AWA, but they already had like the Grand Wizard and Freddie Blassie. And Lou Albano was there too. He's like they were so great, and Lou Albano was there.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time. That's for sure.
He just made the characters even bigger, larger than life, as being their mouthpieces, and brought them to life.
I agree 100%. So what else is going on, Rick?
I just found out during ROH's Rumble of Honor or whatever to see who made their debut from WCW. They used to be in WCW.
Someone who's that?
Glacier.
Oh boy.
Yeah, dude, he looks good. Oh, no, man. He's still in good shape. Big dude.
He's a trainer. I think he still trains he trained a lot of guys. He was definitely a trainer after he was done with WCW, but so he just showed up?
Yeah, they were doing the Rumble of Honor, and he's one of the participants, and
interesting.
Yeah, he's still a big dude. He's kind of probably doing little spot matches here and there, but yeah, he's still in good shape. It's probably about 50.
Remember, he was who was the guy that was with? They were something they were doing the Mortal Kombat thing.
Yeah, that they were
Mortis.
It was going to be their big thing, and then they brought out the NWO right before they debuted.
Yeah, because they had Mortis, who was
Mortis and Wrath.
Yeah, Mortis and Wrath. So they had all
James
these characters.
Vandenberg was the manager of the heels.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, man. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I loved WCW back in the day.
Yeah, cool. Anything else, Rick?
Yeah, just a couple more things. We were talking earlier in the spring about Paige. Is she going to be coming back soon from her injury?
Yeah, actually, there's some news this week that she's back in the Paige is back at the WWE Performance Center training, and the WWE even acknowledged on their webpage that she's back training. Maybe she broke up with Alberto, or who knows?
Again.
Yeah, again. Who knows? Maybe they got married and they're divorced, or maybe they're married. I don't know what's going on with them. But she, you know what? Power to her. She needs to get back in the ring.
She was fully cleared.
She's still young. She's only about 26. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's just a kid.
Two more things on my mind. Am I reading too much into this when they're obviously pushing Braun so much and, doing some high spots against Brock and things like that? Am I reading too much into it that is it going to go the other way that you think that Brock's still going to win?
No, I don't think Brock's going to win. I think first of all, I'm all for anybody who's not a part-time champion, because if Braun Strowman was a champ, he'd be on TV every week like he is anyways. Brock Lesnar's on TV a couple weeks, and then he's off for a month and a half, and then he's back a couple weeks. So I'm always for the guys who are there full-time. Now, if it's building up a bigger story between the two guys and Brock wins, then power to it. But I think Brock drops the title this weekend.
Okay, I thought they would build a few more pay-per-views.
You know what? Because they've had a lot of, the thing is, remember when Goldberg and Brock were going, and Goldberg had like that streak of like all these wins in a row against Brock, and then it was time for Goldberg to leave, and Brock beat him pretty quickly. I'm hoping that if it makes a bigger story out of it, then maybe Brock Lesnar will retain. But I'm guessing most likely that the way they're built. I mean, how can you not put the title on Braun Strowman the way he's been, put on TV this past 6 months?
Here's the thing. Joe's been out for about 4 or 5 weeks already, and his injury was about 6 weeks or so. I think there might be a chance he comes down and interrupts the match somehow, and then the next pay-per-view, they do a three-way.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
That would be great, but everything is saying that Lesnar's off until the end of the year.
Yeah, there's nothing is saying he's back with the WWE until...
Other than like a house show here or there.
Yeah, so if you read into like the information on Brock Lesnar, he's not going to... if he's not going to be back until... December, most likely he's not going to be holding that title after this weekend.
Or if Braun wins and then Joe comes out at the end, kind of like, gets in his face.
Or Monday, maybe Monday Braun will come out and start, gloating or something, and then someone will come out. I mean, but you got to, is Joe bad or good? I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot of, he's like a tweener big time, because people do cheer him when he comes out.
People cheer Braun, too.
They do cheer Braun, too. And I mean, so it's like, I don't know. It's a good question of where it's going to go after that. But
And last thing, and it's made major headlines all over the net. I'm kind of torn about what happened with Jinder Mahal and the Sting brothers.
Yeah,
I get it. I mean, they're just trying to you know, point out different stuff, and he's of different nationality as well. And Shinsuke trying to say they're going to turn on you, they're laughing behind your back. But, I mean, I get the fans saying stuff like that, but, I mean, it's wrestling. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, I guess when you say something and the crowd starts chanting, that's too far.
But then he went with it, then Jinder rolled with it.
He did, but you know, I mean, what he was saying was very common in maybe the 80s. You know, people get away with that with no problem whatsoever. This is unfortunately a different era. And it's like, and I mean, you really, you know, it's stupid, dumb, funny jokes like that. You know, that's
that sophomoric humor.
Yeah, that's, you know, and it's. And
I have no idea how that gets past a writer.
I know. How does that, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, let's write some
racist. I can see Vince okaying it because Vince is 72 years old and doesn't have a touch on reality. But I don't know how a writer, because they're younger. They're usually younger before they burn them out.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Was P.S. Hayes one of the head writers back there, Booker?
Yeah, I can see Hayes okaying that too.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the reason this got on is because the man that signs the paychecks is the guy that's okay with it. This was all intentional.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
Don't think for a second this wasn't to get some attention.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, they look at their numbers on TV and they say, we need a controversy to bring people
There's
to
no
watch it.
There's no such thing as bad press.
That's right. And you are
the worst part is, though, like, I could see if it was something that was actually entertaining and it brought, like, or something, like, controversial that actually people cared about. But this is just stupid.
Yeah, it was dumb, stupid, dumb jokes. It's like stuff you find in, like, a totally disgusting joke.
The entire segment, the last 2 weeks, his segments have been fast-forward material on the DVR.
Oh, big time, yeah. You know, and that's why some people might not have caught it, because it's like, oh, it's Jinder. He's like, well, you know, he's drones on.
They were
on.
Doing the same thing the week before, and people didn't catch it.
Oh, I know. And it's, when you're listening back to it, it's like, but he...
Well, this week, they stepped it up one more notch.
Yeah, enough that the people in the crowd were chanting about it, and that's really what, you know, and then... People complained to WWE, and they came back and proceeded to write, well, characters are written to be different, and they basically blamed it as the character of Jinder Mahal is that's the kind of character he is, you know, saying things like that.
I don't think it is, because when he first came out, he was saying that the Americans didn't like him because he looked different, and he was different. And,
yeah, where did it change? Yeah, that's
and,
what, yeah.
And now he's just anti-other part of Asia?
Anti-everything, pretty much. I mean, yeah, he wasn't making jokes about Randy Orton's ethnicity when he was taking him on, so... I don't know. It's you know what? It's like it's controversial.
It's kind of one of those, right. It's kind of one of those things where you just
it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm not against you know, good characters, but I mean, I'm not racist. But it's just it's a tough thing to talk about. I mean, it definitely got the press if they were looking for that.
I gotta say, well, one thing is it's you know yes, it got the press, and I mean, let's see what happens. See if it continues on because it may.
Well, I'm sure Shinsuke knew about it obviously before they did it.
Yeah, you
what
know
it, what it says to me is because it's a complete change from where the character was going. What it says to me is someone in the back really wanted to get that stuff out.
Yeah, yeah, and he may be dropping the belt too, which I'm getting a feeling that. Just because, you know, because you really got to dig that hole deep before you get knocked off, you know? You know, the thing is there's some other things that's been happening on their TV the past couple weeks. Like, for instance, you know, this past week, Roman Reigns comes out and drops an S-bomb in the first thing in his promo, you know? And it's like, so, I mean, are we feeling a loosening up of this PG era? I mean, is it...
Well, they do this every now and then. Well, they did it with The Rock.
Well, The Rock, because they couldn't control what The Rock was saying.
Well, but, Cena dropped it, too, when he came out and did his rap battle with The Rock.
No, that's true. But it's like, but you know, I just think that, you know, sometimes you see some loosening up of this PG to more of a PG-13. And it's like, maybe, you know, because of the numbers of where they are and maybe a bounce back if they, like, you know, change their, you know, but they also lose advertisers, so it's a fine line they're walking right now. Rick, we got to go to break because we got Chris Jericho on the flip side.
All right, man. Thanks. I'll be listening.
All right. You take it easy, man. 222-1280, *1280 is a number. We are going to break. We'll be back on the flip side with the Ayatollah of a rock and roller, amongst other things, and three-time New York Times best-selling author. On the flip side, we'll have Chris Jericho on the Pain Clinic. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
The moment the music stops and the fun ends, nostalgia will fade just like these what chants, and the truth will set in. And the truth is that Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins can't stand each other. Are you calling me a liar? Yes. That's exactly what I'm calling you. And not only am I calling you a liar, this kid right here was just calling you a douche rocket. Kevin Owens, I, Shane McMahon, condemn you. I condemn you to a ruthless beating at my own hands. I condemn you to a life of pain and suffering from these hands. And I condemn you to hell in the cell.
Hi, this is Shane McMahon from the World Wrestling Federation, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
I have carved out this soul made of stone, and I will drag you down and say,
joining us is an immaculate, decorated, six-time WWE champion, three-time New York Times bestselling author, the leader of an incredible rock band, Fozzy, stage actor, an incredible podcast host, a modern-day renaissance man. Let's welcome Chris Jericho back to the Pain Clinic. Thank you so much for the time today, Chris.
Don't forget Cruise host as well. That's the new one now.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that a little bit. The Cruise of Jericho, or I like Jericho Cruise, but it's like
people don't really know what that means, though. You know what I mean? I thought about all the different names, but Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager is the one that I like. Is it something you can put that on a T-shirt? Jericho Cruise sounds like a guy from East L.A. that's fixing your car, maybe, or something. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
I thought it was like a product you put in your hair or something. Jericho
maybe,
Cruise.
Yeah. It's a combination of the two. Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's awesome. Actually, we might as well get that out of the way and talk about it right now. How did that come about?
Well, we did the Kiss Cruise 2 years ago, and as soon as I walked off the boat, I called my manager. I said, we got to do a Rock and Wrestling Cruise, because I just saw how much fun it was and how people were responding to it. And it's something that's never been done before, and I wasn't wanting to do, you know, a Bruise Cruise thing where it's just a bunch of guys hanging around. I wanted an actual tournament at sea, a wrestling you know, show at sea. And, you know, because it's something that had never been done before, even something as simple as, does the ring go on the boat? How do you attach it so it doesn't, you know, go over the side? So I had to have engineers come in and analysis and all this type of stuff to finally make it happen. And then I'm like, okay, so now I've got permission to do it. I know I can do it, but what do I do? Do I book a card? You know, how can I book a card knowing who's going to be signed somewhere, you know, a year from now? Who might be hurt? Who might be injured? Et cetera, et cetera. So I thought the easiest way to do that would be to contact an actual wrestling company. And after talking to a few, Ring of Honor was the right fit. And that's kind of how it all started coming to fruition, and started signing Hall of Famers and comedians and great rock and roll bands, and seeing how much money some people want that's completely insane, and seeing other people that just wanted to be a part of it that would do it kind of almost as a favor. So, you know, this is all me. I'm financing the whole thing. So either it makes it or it breaks it. And I think because it's such an interesting concept that's never been done before, once it's all said and done, people are going to be super excited about it. And I want it to be an annual tradition that will last for years to come. So we're up and running. Here we go.
That's right. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. You can find out all the details, you know, how much it costs and everything, and definitely check it out. Now, to get to back to reality just for a little bit, for like what's going on now, how did you make it through the hurricane down there? Okay. Was that okay?
Yeah, I got lucky, man. I went through Hurricane Charlie in 2004, and it was way worse for me personally. This one, I kind of cruised through it, no pun intended. So it was a windy night with lots of rain, but I didn't even lose power, so thank God for that.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, because it's like, yeah, it's just caused havoc everywhere. Now, let's talk about the newest biography that just came out. Noah's a four-letter word, and there's more to it, because I keep stopping at that. How I failed spelling but succeeded in life. You write about many things. Some old stuff before your career with the WWE. I like the chapter of Vince McMahon's work ethic and the Star Wars, to name a few things in there. How's the book doing?
Doing great, man. It's selling a great, sold double the last book did, and it's exciting because it's something that I wanted to do something a little bit different as far as, you know, I've done three autobiographies over the course of 7 years. I didn't think the world really needed a fourth Chris Jericho autobiography, but I still love writing, and what I wanted to do is something that I get asked quite often. How did you do all these things that you do? How did you make it in wrestling? How did you make it in music? How did you make all these things happen? So So I sat down and came up with 20 principles as to how I was able to make all these things happen, and, you know, lessons that I've learned over the years from, you know, celebrities or family members or fictional characters or all these different things, and put them all down. Like you said, the Vince McMahon principle, work hard, then work harder. There's the Yoda principle, there is no try, there's only do. The Gene Simmons principle, dress like a star. All these little lessons that I learned that enabled me to achieve the things I've achieved, that I put them all down into one book and you read it. It's like, wow, these are some actually pretty cool life lessons that people can learn. And now that the book has come out, seeing people's reaction to it, it's cool to see that I was right, that people were kind of waiting for something like this without even knowing about it.
It's great, too, because it's not really an autobiography, but there's autobiographical stories in there from all over, you know.
That's like, it's still a Chris Jericho book. It's not some kind of a psychoanalytical textbook or something. It's still wrapped around the ridiculous stories and the experiences that I've had, but just with more of a theme and more of a focus now. And that's something that I really believed in, because I do think I have a different outlook on life than a lot of people, because I did just throw caution to the wind and try things and go for things, even when people told me that it shouldn't happen or it couldn't happen or it wouldn't happen. I mean, this cruise is the newest example of that. So I don't really care what people think, and I've learned that years ago, because if I did care what people think, I never would have gotten to wrestling in the first place. I never would have gotten to music in the first place. So I think once you can kind of shed yourself of worrying about what the world thinks and focus more on what you want to do and what you think you can make happen, it makes life a lot easier and a lot more positive.
Cool. I brought up that Vince McMahon chapter, and then I don't know if you got a chance to see or not. Kevin Owens destroyed Vince McMahon a couple of weeks ago on TV. Did you?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Now that's kind of a perfect example of that. You know, I mean, Vince McMahon went the extra mile there, and I mean, you know, a 72 year old man, and went out there and did that. That's, you know, it just shows you, you know, that. But that was crazy.
Well, Vince doesn't think of himself as a 72-year-old man. That's the thing, though. So for Vince, it's just business as usual. Vince does what he thinks is best for the angle, what's best for the story. And, you know, once again, Vince doesn't care what anybody thinks or what anybody else suggests to him. He's going to do it his way. So, you know, that's another perfect example of that. That's the Vince McMahon mindset. And you know, you have to be a little bit stubborn about it at times. But if you think it's right, you know it's right, go for it, make it happen, and do it.
That's awesome. Now, can you tell us about the single Judas and what that did for the band when you guys put that out?
It took us to a completely different level. I mean, we've had some success before with some of our songs and our tours, but having a number one song for 5 weeks, having 9 million views on YouTube in 5 months, I'm not sure why the series is as popular as it is. It's a great song with a great hook, amazing lyrics. I'm not much of being analytical about things, though. I mean, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. I don't really care why it works, but it worked, and it worked big time, and it's still growing, and it's catapulted the band into a completely different level. So, you know, it's just a really cool position. But once again, it's after years and years of hard work, so it's been a great gratifying payoff for us, and it just opens the door for us even more to kick it in even more. We're ready.
Great. I was going to say, yeah, and the album's coming out, well, October 13th, I believe I saw. So we'll really get a good feel for how that does after, based on how well this single did. It sounds like just nothing but success ahead for you guys, which is super exciting.
Yeah, and like I said, it's been a long time coming, and I think it was the right song at the right time with a lot of goodwill built up around this band and a lot of people checking us out for the first time after that last year on the MLB. And when they check us out for the first time and hear our best song, it's kind of a one in a million song. It's a good position to be in. And the thing is, it wasn't even going to be the first single. There's other songs on the record that, you know, the powers that be thought were just as good, if not better. So I think there's a lot more in the tank for Fozzy over the next few months. It's exciting for us.
That's absolutely awesome. Cannot wait to see you guys up in, like I said, Niagara Falls on October 3rd. It's a Tuesday night. Definitely come on out, and I'll talk about, give you more details on that in a second. But I do want to ask you, I have a few questions from people who send in questions through messages. Crimson asked, when it comes to developmental training outside the U.S., how would you rank Mexico, Europe, and Japan?
Well, I mean, when you go to those places, it's not in the ring. It's life experience. You know, you're learning wrestling experience in different styles. It's the life experience that you have as well that really happens to be able to do to become a better performer, but also to learn how to deal with things. So when I went to Mexico, and yeah, obviously there's some great wrestlers there in Japan, but, you know, going to these places in your early 20s, you grow up fast. You learn how to make it. You learn how to get over. So that whenever, like, I always said that with Daniel Bryan, as soon as he came to the WWE, when the cards kind of stacked against him, I knew he would get over because he'd been around the world getting over. And it doesn't matter if it's in a quote-unquote bingo hall or the Tokyo Dome. Once you learn how to connect with the people and the fans, that's the most important thing. And that's how you become a huge superstar in this business.
Awesome. We got a question from Chris. He says, if you were to put together a band of musicians no longer alive, who is in the band?
Oh, that's a good question. Someone just asked that earlier. I would put Clive Burr on drums from Maiden, Cliff Burton on bass. I'd do Randy Rhoads on guitar. I'd do Bon Scott on vocals. I'll keep it at that for now. I need a rhythm guitar player, but I can't think of anybody that's passed away, so okay. I'm sure I'll come up with somebody.
Cool.
You could say someone like Dimebag Darrell, but Dime and Randy Rhoads is the guy I might not like. There's too much soloing going on, but I need a rhythm guitar player, so.
Sure.
Keep an eye out.
Okay, Casey asks, how has taking care of your body changed from when you started wrestling until now?
Well, when I first started, it was all about lifting as hard as you can, you know, putting on as much pounds as you could, being as big as you could. And now, you know, 46 years old, I started doing a lot of yoga a few years ago. My back was messed up. Now, I'm biking every day. My bike's for back much up right now. Trails, since I'm still talking to you. I ride 15 miles a day. You know, that's my big workout. I watch more of what I eat. I don't eat as much carbs, as much bread, as much desserts. I go in phases where, you diet hard and then you forget about it. And 6 months later, like, holy shit, 15 pounds. And then I get back down again. So I think I'm going to start incorporating some weight training again, but I haven't worked out in a long time weight-wise. It's all been just biking and the yoga. I was doing a lot of push-ups for a while. But it's just more about the feeling good and having my wind and my cardio. That means more to me than, having an extra 5,000 muscle or whatever it might be.
Sure. Now, Ryan wants to know, what has been your favorite version or your era of Chris Jericho?
I don't know. It's hard for me to say. That's more for you guys to say. Because for me, it's just me. That's one thing I like writing about in my book. It's just the David Bowie principle. Bowie's reinvent yourself. I just went through all the different characters of Y2J since 99 to now, and I mean, there's been a lot of good ones. I don't think I've ever been better than I was in 2008 and 2016 in different ways. So that would probably be the suit and tie guy, Jericho, with the big words, and then the list, Scarf Jericho. Those are probably my two favorites, but once again, that's not up to me to decide. That's up to the fans that appreciate my work. Because for me, every era had its pros. Some didn't work as much as others. But most of them were pretty, well thought out, and I worked my ass off on it to make it something special, and sometimes it's more special than others. And you can never, once again, just like Judas. I mean, I think Judas is going to be a hit. Well, I don't know. I didn't think it wasn't going to be, but I didn't think it was going to be this big. Do you think the list was going to be a hit? I don't know, but I didn't think it was going to turn into this iconic thing where they're making a list and selling them and everybody wants to be on the list. There's books who are signing Rules of Four in the World. Everybody asks me, you just made a list. I have to tell the people that are working with me, please let the people know that I'm not going to sign You Just Made the List on the book, because that would take me forever. Plus, you can't ask to be on the list. It doesn't work that way. You can't request to be on the list. So
you have to get on the list.
Well, yeah, it's like you've got to be in the character and the mindset. It's like going up to a comedian saying, say something funny to me. It's like, well, I'm not really in that showbiz mood right now, So, but anyways, it's a good problem to have. I had no idea it was going to be as big as it was. And how can I know? How can I know that people who want to be called, want me to call them a stupid idiot? I mean, give me a break, right?
Hey, the funny thing is as you started doing all that stuff as a heel, but the repetitiveness of it, the people caught on. It's like It's like Paul Heyman. They come out and they all say his name like when he says it. So, and everyone wants to be, wants to get it, So it's like.
Well, and those things too, that's why I changed businesses, because I don't like having catchphrases as a heel. And all that stuff got heat. And when it stopped getting heat, that's when I knew, okay, I got to move on. Like, quiet thing, get the character, drink it in. And now you see it booze. Calling people stupid idiots used to get booze. Vince was like, you're the only guy that can get away with calling people a stupid idiot and getting heat. And you're also the only guy that I would allow to say that, because it's so dumb. But you say it with commitment and conviction. It works. And after a while, as what happens, people get into it. And then it's okay, well, either I completely ditch everything and change, or I turn babyface. I knew they were going to go with it.
So I just decided to let it ride as a babyface. But in 2008, there was no Chris Jericho catchphrases. You know, I would refuse because I didn't want anybody, you know, even hypocrites. If people started getting into that and bringing the signs that said I'm a hypocrite, I would stop saying it. You know, that's just kind of how it works. To be a heel, you can't have catchphrases or merch or any of that stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, something like stupid idiot is something you used anyways, you know, it's just that people picked up on it, which was, you know, and then they waited for it. So you're right, you know, and I think it's really cool is how people just, you know, gravitated to things that were coming out of your mouth. So, it's very, very cool. Now, I'm gonna let you go. I got one more. I want to let you know, also, by the way, when you guys play October 3rd at the Rapids Theater up there in Niagara Falls, that this is a place that was on Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters. I just wanted to, you know, maybe you could like tape a podcast or something back there. Maybe like, you know, or maybe not. I don't know. It depends if you're the, you know, if you're superstitious or anything.
It's funny because there are venues all over the states. There's one in Milwaukee called the Eagles Ballroom. It's got some haunted, you know, apparitions and that sort of thing going on. So, yeah, I mean, I always am attuned to that sort of thing. So I think it's really cool, you know. And if you had the right guys, you know, experts that knew about it, then maybe you could do a podcast. But it's just cool playing in places like that and knowing that there's some history and some vibes and, you know, what's better for a rock and roll show than having a couple of ghosts around? That's pretty rock and roll.
That's pretty cool, especially if someone sees one while you're playing, you know? Probably.
Well, yeah, exactly, right? That's pretty cool. I'll take that.
Cool. One last thing. Bobby Heenan passed away this week. Any memories or funny stories about him that you might remember?
You know, I really don't have any because I never, you know, Bobby was in WCW for 3 years commentating on my matches, but I never really had much of a relationship with him and kind of asking around. He's a pretty private guy. I remember that the coolest thing for me was having him commentate my first match in WCW and really thinking like, wow, I made it. Like Bobby the Brain, he's commenting my match. And this was when I was still kind of a nameless face with babyface. And Bischoff was like, oh, this guy's such a great guy and he's so good looking. And, you know, I saw him helping a puppy backstage before and starting out us for a kid. And he was like, what, are you going to co-sign a loan for him too? And I just love that line that he threw out there. I was like, wow, Bobby Heenan even told a joke about me, you know? And just, but I've been analyzing it. Now, actually, I talked about it on my podcast this week with Cyrus and Mark Madden. The case to be made that Bobby Heenan might be the best all-around performer in wrestling history as far as being a commentator, a worker, a manager, just everything that he did. He was great at it, and it's interesting to think about a talent like that, and also how a guy like that will probably never get another chance because they don't use managers and they have commentators that are really kind of you know, hand fed their lines. So you might never see a guy like Bobby the Brain again.
I agree. And, you know, the thing about Bobby too is, I mean, he always would, you know, come out and he'd side with the heels and everything, but he also would make himself look like an ass by the time he was done doing half of everything. That was part of his shtick, was to look like a goofball at the end of it, you know? And it's all very, very funny memories I have of him when I'm growing up and everything. So I think, thank you for that. I definitely appreciate that. I want to let people know that they can pick up No is a four-letter word, How I Failed Spelling but Succeeded in Life at any store, any Amazon store, any bookstore, anywhere. And Fozzy's new album's being released October 13th. And who knows when we see Chris in the squared circle again. Do you have any idea?
I love when people ask for that, because if I did have any idea, do you think I'd really tell you? You know what I mean?
No, probably not. I know that. And actually, that was a heck of a surprise a couple of weeks ago when you came out in the three-way with Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. So that was...
Yeah. Like I said, man, I mean, I'll probably be back at some point. I got a lot of other stuff going on, and I still enjoy working. But to me, it's all about the storyline. That's what gets me off the most. The storyline and the vibe surrounding the match, that's what I'm into. So... I don't really care so much about the matches themselves. I care about the storyline and the circumstances surrounding it. So if something comes up that's interesting to me, you know damn well I'll do it.
Very cool. And, we got to hear Judas as a theme for the pay-per-view not too long ago. But I want to thank you so much for the time, and we will be seeing you at Rapids Theater on October 3rd. Thank you, Chris, and good luck with the starting of the tour and everything, and the book and everything that you do.
Thanks, man. Sounds great. I'll talk to you on October 3rd, man. Looking forward to it.
Very cool. Thank you very much. So we got to go to break now. Chris was absolutely fantastic. We'll go back to break with Judas, the big breakthrough song for Fozzy and Chris Jericho. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Oh, I walk up and down these hallways. I hear the whispers. I see the looks. When they see what I do to Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, those whispers, the looks, they're all gonna stop.
What if they don't? What are you gonna do? Beat up everybody that says something about me? What did you think was gonna happen when that came out that I was your father?
I don't know. I didn't ask for this.
I know you didn't, but here we are. You either step up or go home.
Shinsuke, what's your reaction to Jinder Mahal?
It's very funny, but not so funny at the Hell in a Cell when I win the WWE Championship.
You know, I'd actually like to make one more apology. And that's to anyone who dares to watch Hell in a Cell, because Shane, what I did to your father was nothing compared to what I'm going to do to you.
This is the Nature Boy Ric Flair. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen or feel the pain. Woo! Woo!
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. And welcome back to Ric Flair. He'll be back, I'm sure, in no time. But I want you to know, Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don's Delight, Empire Culver. Don't forget to join us October 7th for UFC 216 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door. 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. There is no cover for UFCs at Salvatore's Saloon or Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Come hang out with us. We'll have a good time. That's October 7th at 10 p.m. UFC 216. Welcome back to the show. So Chris Jericho did not call any of us stupid idiots, so we did okay.
That's a first.
I've learned when Jericho's on, I just let you do the talking because I can't handle the abuse anymore.
I cry after those interviews.
I know. Well, you know, we got to go back to some of the old ones and listen to that. But, you know, we don't forget, we're going to check them out October 3rd in Niagara Falls there at the Rapids Theater, Haunted Rapids Theater. And I want to thank Chris for coming on, promoting his book, which is an incredible book, a lot of fun to read. He's got all these principles. It's really pretty cool.
He promoted like 7 different things there.
Yeah, I know.
His book, his concert, his cruise.
His Jura cruise. Yeah, everything, man. So we're going to go. I'm going to, because we got a little bit behind it, we're going to have one more segment. I'm going to go to break, and we'll come back and do some news. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
This is Chris Jericho, the hero of the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. You know, I'm not really sure what they're saying in this song. I hope there's nothing bad.
Jinder's music is more over than Jinder is.
I love Jinder's music.
Yeah, it's good, but it's like, you know, I just, you know what, I hope...
Well, I don't like... So, a lot of the WWE music has been great lately, except it's one verse that just repeats over and over and over and over.
Yes.
If you actually listen to it.
True. And most of the times we talk to guys from WWE about their music and they say they hate it because they have to hear it so often. Remember, I think Randy Orton was like really good at that. He's the one who originally wanted the music that was CM Punk's old music. Remember CM Punk's?
No, he didn't want it.
Like,
they gave it to him and he used it for like 2 shows and then he went back to what he was using.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, but he hates his song too because he's making fun of it. I've heard him make fun of it before. So
I'd make fun of it too.
So, you know, this weekend we have WWE No Mercy. It's going to be on the WWE Network. I'm sure on pay-per-view for some people.
Did you ever see the pay-per-view commercial for it?
It's
very creepy.
Is it?
It's Alexa Bliss with like these masks on and like multiple versions of her singing about showing no mercy in like a cheerleader chant. And it's just creepy. And they're all like turning their heads to the side, and it's all the thing nightmares are made of. Well, like great nightmares, but still nightmares.
I was going to say, but then again, it's Alexa Bliss.
It's Alexa Bliss.
Okay with it.
You know? But you don't see her face.
But you know it's her.
Yeah.
You study those curves, and you know it's her.
I don't want to be the creepy guy, but,
okay, but
you don't have to.
Okay.
See her face. It's a...
Sorry. Gotcha. Danny. Bing.
What? Hey, I got to get something in. I'm not here for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, so. You're not? Oh, man. Bummer, man. Okay. Well, Danny. That was a good one, then. Well, we'll make you call.
Just say I'm suspended for the next 2 weeks for that.
Danny,
comment.
You're suspended for
all
the
right,
next
fine.
2 weeks
you're going
for
to
that
hang out
comment.
With Mark. Fine, I'm out.
Yeah, you're gonna go to with Mark out to Nebraska or wherever the heck he is.
Wyoming.
Wyoming. Yes, he was playing out last night. Our friend Mark, you might remember Mark Fantasia was part of the show for a while.
Now he's a traveling hippie.
He is, yeah. You know, he was in North Dakota, too. I saw that he was in North Dakota and Wisconsin, so he's that's where he's driving.
Elias stole his gimmick.
I know. He would have done great in that. He could have come in every weekend with a guitar here and played himself onto the show. That would have been very cool. What did you think about the paintless Goldust getting beat up by Bray Wyatt again last week? I mean, just, you know, I know he's saying, you know, they're trying to, he said, you know, the beast is not, you know, what I'm going to lose to. There's a man underneath it. I understand that, but it's... You know, they're trying to draw interest by him taking gold. I'm sure he saved Goldust a lot of time taking his makeup off.
I think they killed the interest in Bray Wyatt a long time ago.
Yeah, me too. It's, a, you know, unfortunately, they're trying, though, and they're giving him. And, well, but Bayley came back this week. What do you think about that?
She got a mild pop at best in her hometown.
Yeah.
It just showed you the damage they did to the character.
Yeah, well, then maybe the heel turn that everyone's been talking about may happen then, you know, because she didn't come out with all her bright colors
either. More evil Emma.
I agree. More evil Emma. The WWE announced that on November 25th, they're going to be doing a Starrcade-themed show in the Greensboro, North Carolina Coliseum. That, of course, Starrcade was created by Dusty Rhodes from the Hall of Famer Dusty Rhodes. And what do you think? I mean, hopefully that becomes a network special because I'd love to see
it. They're doing it Thanksgiving weekend. The original Starrcade was then. They're doing it in Greensboro. That's where Starrcade was from. They've even Michael Hayes, because of a little venting that the former Rhodes family employees from WWE has offered to do a Rhodes Brothers versus Hardy Boys match for one night only.
I saw that. Do you think that'll happen?
I hope so.
I don't know. He's a Ring of Honor champion right now, so.
But he also, I mean, it's a dark show. It's not. If it's not on TV, then
yeah, you're right. It could happen. So. Man, we got to get out of here, but Danny, you're fired.
Even if it's not TV, they'll have him have the belt. He'll be the greatest thing. It'll be the greatest promotion for him.
Well, I think without a doubt, and they love Ring of Honor because look, yeah. Ring of Honor is doing Chris Jericho's Jericruise. There, I said it. Okay, one other thing, Total Divas is going to be premiering November 1st, if anybody cares. The Undertaker will be making a rare signing appearance in Nassau Coliseum on December 8th, which is going to be interesting. If you're a fan of The Undertaker, you want to get his autograph, it might be one of the last chances. We got to get out of here. I want to thank you guys for coming, and we'll see you next week here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Check us out online, thepainclinic.net. We'll see you next week.